tonight, breaking news, the new and urgent warnings across much of the U.S. tonight. The toxic air from Canada, the warnings for 115 million Americans now. Here in New York City, the sky turning orange, the skyline blanketed in smoke. The city reporting the worst air quality now in the world. Smoke stretching from New York City to Philadelphia to Washington, D.C., as far south now as Georgia. Smoke from hundreds of Canadian wildfires blanketing the U.S., pushed in like a conveyor belt. Tonight, the system driving all of this, with millions of Americans, including residents of New York City, now being told to stay indoors. Sporting events canceled tonight. Smoke delaying flights at major airports. The White House today pressed on the situation, calling it another alarming example of the climate crisis. Tonight, the very real health risks and how long this system is expected to stay in place. Trevor Ault reporting and Rob Marciano timing this out. Meantime, the race for the White House tonight, Mike Pence is officially running, and today, right out of the gate, taking aim at his former boss, arguing Donald Trump should never be president again. Rachel Scott in Iowa. Meantime, the special counsel investigation into former President Trump, news coming in tonight. One of Trump's closest confidants appearing before a grand jury, Pierre Thomas, with late reporting. The high school graduation ceremony erupting in deadly gunfire. Families running from the ceremony. Tonight, the story of those who were killed, the injured, and the 19-year-old suspect now charged with murder. The war in Ukraine tonight and the urgent evacuations now underway after the explosion involving that major dam. And news tonight on the nuclear power plant, Tom Sufi Burridge in Ukraine. Tonight, Pope Francis emerging from his three-hour surgery on his abdomen and what we've learned about his condition. Marcus Moore at the Vatican for us. Here in the U.S., the case of the young mother shot and killed through her neighbor's door. Calls for that neighbor to be arrested, and tonight that woman is now under arrest. One of the greatest soccer players in the history of the game has now decided to come to America. He'll now play here. And we pay tribute tonight to an American pianist who sold millions of albums. You'll know his music. And we have also lost a famous Olympian who broke records.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a Wednesday night. And we know millions of you are watching tonight indoors and trying to escape this toxic air outside. In fact, 115 million Americans across 16 states tonight under hazardous air warnings and alerts. All of this from the Canadian wildfires. This system locked in place, bringing toxic smoke down into the U.S. like a conveyor belt. Tonight here in New York City, the mayor now urging everyone in the city to stay inside if you can. The images are just stunning, the before and after. This is the before, the EarthCam webcam at the top of the Empire State Building looking toward Brooklyn just 3 days ago. And this is the view tonight. The city's air quality today, the index that measures this, the worst in the world now. Limited visibility affecting flights into New York. This plane landing at LaGuardia today. Ground stops for a time at all airports in the New York area, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C. too. New York's famous landmarks nearly invisible through the haze. Look at this tonight. You can barely see the Statue of Liberty there. The Chrysler Building with the orange sky behind it. Outside Grand Central Station, a man wearing a mask to protect against the toxic air. In fact, so many now wearing masks again. Yankee Stadium is empty tonight. Major League Baseball has postponed games in New York and Philadelphia. And look at the map tonight. Over the next 24 hours, the smoke will continue to drift slowly down through the Northeast, the I-95 corridor, for days. The deepest reds there, the most concerning. The red area is considered unhealthy. The darkest purple and maroon there on the map labeled hazardous. That's of the highest concern tonight. This evening, the White House pressed on this situation, calling this another alarming example of the climate crisis. Rob Marciano timing this out. When does the system locked in place finally shift? And ABC's Trevor Ault leading us off here from New York.
Tonight, New York City's skyline looking a lot like Mars as that massive, ominous plume of wildfire smoke pours over the border. Millions of Americans are feeling its effects. From New York City to Philadelphia and D.C. and as far south as North Carolina and Georgia, officials now warning families to stay indoors even if they're healthy.
Everybody, I don't care if you're 15, 55, or 85, everybody should be avoiding outdoor activities.
The images are stunning. The sun shrouded as it rose above Manhattan this morning. At Tuesday's Yankees game, stadium lights illuminating the thick haze. Late today, officials postponing tonight's games in New York and Philadelphia. This time lapse from EarthCam showing conditions growing even worse through the day. Lower Manhattan blanketed in orange. New York City's now registering as the worst air quality of any major city in the world. The Air Quality Index, which is scaled from 1 to 500, with 150 deemed unhealthy, this afternoon NYC topped 400. By comparison, today Delhi, India was around 160, Shanghai, China was around 125. The hazardous air here extending upstate to cities like Syracuse. So many once again donning the same masks they'd worn through the pandemic.
This could kill us. This could literally kill us.
These are very, very fine bits of matter that can get inhaled very deep into your lung tissue.
New York's governor calling this an emergency crisis. New York City's mayor urging the entire city to stay indoors.
This is not the day to train for a marathon or to do an outside event with your children.
The effects of breathing in the smoke's toxic particulates continuously are comparable to smoking up to a half a pack of cigarettes or more. And emergency rooms worried about the cumulative impact from days of dangerous air are now preparing for potential patients.
The more exposure folks have, the more likely it is that they'll be sick.
The low visibility even delaying flights in and out of New York City area airports. At one point, the average flight to LaGuardia delayed nearly 2 hours. More than 6 million acres have already burned in what's shaping up to be Canada's worst fire season on record. The White House today pressed on the situation.
It is yet another alarming example of the ways in which the climate crisis is disturbing our lives and our communities.
And with hundreds of fires still burning out of control, that smoke will just keep coming.
And David, we just heard from New York City's mayor just moments ago. He reiterated the importance of trying to stay indoors and said if you have to go out, it's a good idea to have a mask. And we mentioned that air quality index, the 1 to 500 scale. Well, the mayor revealed this afternoon New York City topped out at 484. David.
Well, that's just incredible. Trevor and the team, come on back inside. Thank you for that, Trevor. Let's get right to senior meteorologist Rob Marciano, of course, timing this out for us. And Rob, this system appears to be stuck in place here for days.
Yeah, that's the problem, David. I mean, these are difficult to predict as it is. We typically need a big system to clear things out, and we're just not getting it. So we still have these alerts that are up for 16 states. There you see it. These are issued daily, so they'll probably be re-upped tomorrow. And here's that blocking pattern you mentioned, the Omega block, that HUC and the flow around it looks like the Greek letter Omega. That one is a tough one to break down, and we've had it for days. We're going to have it for a couple more days, and the flow around the front side of that brings that smoke down from Canada. So this is our smoke simulation, and the red dots, that's the actual ground measurements of unhealthy, very unhealthy, or hazardous air in places like Hartford, New York City, Scranton, Syracuse, and back through Philly, and probably D.C. tomorrow. You see the flow kind of brings things down I-95 tomorrow in the morning. Our nation's capital could be shrouded. And then the backside of this continues to bring things down on Friday for places like Pittsburgh and, say, Dayton, Ohio. So a lot of this smoke in spots, David, at least, will be with us through the weekend.
All this is fascinating and alarming, Rob. In the meantime, I want to go back to the actual fires in Canada driving all of this. And there isn't even a drought in Canada where these fires are already burning, which, of course, is even more concerning that we're dealing with this so early in the season, not even with a drought.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've had some heat the past couple of weeks, and obviously this early in the spring, we've got some fuel, so that hasn't helped much. And certainly climate change with the extra warmth, you can certainly link wildfires being amplified by that. There's also some studies that claim that these blocking patterns are exacerbated by climate change as well. What we also know for fact is that 50% of the people in Canada, 50% of the fires in Canada are started by people. That number is even higher here in the States. So that is a very bad combination for a huge chunk of North America.
Yeah.
David?
We all have to be extremely careful in these times. Rob Marciano, thank you for that tonight. In the meantime, we move on to the other news in the race for the White House. Former Vice President Mike Pence is officially running, and today he wasted no time taking aim at his former boss, arguing that Donald Trump should never be president again. Rachel Scott in Iowa tonight.
Please welcome Mike Pence.
Tonight, former Vice President Mike Pence formally launching his 2024 campaign in Iowa, zeroing in on Donald Trump's actions on January 6th and delivering his strongest criticism yet of his former boss.
President Trump also demanded that I choose between him and the Constitution. Now voters will be faced with the same choice. I chose the Constitution, and I always will.
It's the first time in more than 80 years that a former vice president is challenging the president he served under. Pence, who was once known for his deep loyalty to Trump, now says he's unfit to serve.
Anyone who puts themselves over the Constitution should never be president of the United States. And anyone who asks someone else to put them over the Constitution should never be president of the United States again.
The Republican field is only growing larger. North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum also jumping in today.
I'm officially announcing I'm running for the president of the United States of America.
12 candidates now in the race. Trump's still the clear front runner.
There's some in there that are, I don't know why they're running, quite honest.
I love diversity, period. I think that that the cream is going to rise to the top.
Happy to be back.
Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie announced his second bid for the White House in New Hampshire. A former advisor and friend of Trump, now making the case against him.
The person I am talking about, who is obsessed with the mirror, who never admits a mistake, who never admits a fault, and who always finds someone else and something else to blame for whatever goes wrong, but finds every reason to take credit for anything that goes right, is Donald Trump.
Here goes the race. Rachel joins us now live from Iowa, where Mike Pence, of course, announced his campaign. The Republican field now up to 12 candidates. You don't need me to tell you that, Rachel. But what is the talk within Republican circles with the field already this large? Because we all know the size of the field was a dynamic that helped Donald Trump leading up to 2016.
Exactly, David. And many say such a crowded field back in 2016 helped Donald Trump emerge as the front runner in that race, and that it could help him once again. Some of those long shot candidates have a lot of work to do to close the gap or even make the debate stage. David.
Rachel Scott traveling the country live from Iowa tonight. Rachel, thank you. Tonight, there's also news in the special counsel investigation into former President Trump. We have learned of another one of Trump's closest confidants appearing before a grand jury. Let's get right to ABC's Chief Justice Correspondent Pierre Thomas. Pierre, who was questioned, and do we know anything about the line of questioning from federal prosecutors here?
David, today a close ally of Trump reluctantly appearing before a grand jury in Miami as the special counsel's investigation into his handling of classified documents enters the final stretch. Prosecutors calling Taylor Budowich, who runs one of Trump's super PACs, to testify about what Trump did with those documents and how he responded to the government's efforts to get them back. After leaving the court, Budowich blasted the investigation as bogus and deeply troubling in an effort to get Trump. But his testimony comes just 24 hours after we learned former Chief of Staff Mark Meadows also testified as part of the special counsel investigation. David, the special counsel aggressively trying to talk to those closest to Trump.
Pierre Thomas tracking all this very closely for us. Pierre, thank you. We're going to turn now to the high school graduation ceremony that turned deadly in Richmond, Virginia. Families were just leaving the graduation when gunshots then broke out, sending them running in fear. Tonight, hear the stories of those who were killed and now the 19-year-old suspect charged with murder. ABC's Faith Abube in Richmond.
These graduation cheers interrupted by gunfire. The horror unfolding after a packed high school event in Richmond, Virginia. A stepfather and son shot dead. 36-year-old Renzo Smith and 18-year-old Sean Jackson. He had just walked the stage at graduation, murdered in his cap and gown.
I didn't know Sean, but I shook his hand and wished him congratulations about 20 minutes before he died.
And tonight, police have the alleged gunman in custody. 19-year-old Amari Pollard now charged with two counts of second-degree murder. Authorities say Pollard targeted Jackson. The two involved in an unspecified year-long dispute. And after exchanging words outside the theater, police say the suspect got a gun from his car, came back, and opened fire.
Essentially, it was chaos for the first several minutes after this event.
Five innocent people also shot and wounded, and a 9-year-old girl hit by a car in the chaos. Police say she's Jackson's little sister. Stephanie Rizzi was at the graduation and saw the young man, Sean Jackson, taking his last few breaths.
I could see his face. I, first of all, can't erase that image from my mind. I think of my own sons.
Tonight, this community is in mourning. Jackson's aunt, Daytrell Glover, shaking with tears streaming down her face, telling us this was a senseless act of violence.
What are you going to miss about them the most?
Just them, period. That presence, just hugging them, talking to them. We can't do that anymore. We can't.
And that family understandably devastated. They say they wish all of this was just a bad dream. In the meantime, tonight, authorities say more charges could be filed against the suspected shooter. David?
Just awful. Faith Abube tonight. Faith, thank you. We turn now to the war in Ukraine tonight. The urgent evacuations now underway after that major dam was destroyed, and what we're now learning about Europe's largest nuclear power plant, of course, inside Ukraine. ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge from Ukraine again tonight.
Floodwaters still rising, and tonight reports that the extreme flooding in cut-off communities in southern Ukraine is claiming lives. Water continuing to gush through the now ruptured Novikovka Dam, which was blown up. The facility is Russian-controlled, but both sides blaming the other for the blast. Under the threat of shelling and snipers, Ukrainian rescue teams in boats racing to reach thousands from flooded frontline areas. People's pets taken to safety too. Some agricultural areas swamped, others now cut off from their water supply, with the dam's vast reservoir draining.
We are well upriver from the dam, and you can see how much the water has receded. To the south of here, the Dnipro River effectively becomes the front line. Ukraine controlling the West Bank, Russia the east, including the nuclear power plant and the now devastated Novikovka Dam.
The water cooled nuclear reactors stable for now, but an ecological disaster unfolding tonight, with dead and dying fish littering the landscape as water levels drop upriver from the dam.
David reports tonight that Ukraine is pushing its offensive in the east, claiming it's recapturing more ground, even as the disaster from the ruptured dam here in the south continues to unfold. David?
Just incredible pictures there. Tom Sufi Burridge. Tom, thank you. Now to Rome tonight, where Pope Francis has now emerged from a three-hour surgery on his abdomen. ABC's Marcus Moore at the Vatican on the Pope's condition tonight.
Tonight, Pope Francis out of surgery after a three-hour-long operation on his abdomen. Following the surgery, the Pope was said to be in good spirits and even joking with his surgeon.
The Pope, he's fine and he's awake.
The Holy See press office stating the operation had become necessary to correct an abdominal hernia causing, quote, a recurrent, painful, and worsening intestinal blockage. That hernia caused by scars from previous operations. The 86-year-old pontiff seen this morning at his weekly general audience showing no signs of the surgery to come, arriving on the Pope Mobile, walking with a cane.
Pater, et filius, et spiritus sanctus. Amen.
The Pope taking a moment to shake hands with the faithful as he was pushed in a wheelchair. He later arrived at Rome's Gemelli Hospital, where the surgery was performed under general anesthesia.
And David, the Pope's doctor says that recovery typically takes 7 days, but that the Pope was already back at work after the surgery. David.
Well, that is encouraging. Marcus Moore, live at the Vatican. Marcus, thank you. When we come back here, the young mother shot and killed right through her neighbor's door, calls for that neighbor to be arrested, and what's now happened tonight. And we pay tribute to an American pianist who sold millions of albums, and we've lost a famous Olympian tonight in a moment.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tonight, the Florida neighbor accused of shooting and killing a mother of four is now under arrest in Ocala, Florida. Susan Lawrence now facing charges of manslaughter and assault. Police say she was angry about the neighbor's children playing near her home, allegedly throwing a pair of skates at them and using racial slurs. When their mother knocked on the door, authorities say Lawrence fired that deadly shot. Authorities say she claims she was acting in self-defense. When we come back here tonight, remembering an American musician who sold millions of records, and we remember an Olympic champion tonight. To the index tonight, we learn today that Grammy-winning musician George Winston has died. The pianist battling cancer for 10 years, so many popular albums, including December, selling millions of copies. George Winston was 73. Olympic champion Jim Hines has also died. At one point, the fastest man in the world. He became the first person to run the 100 meters in under 10 seconds. Jim Hines was 76. And World Cup winner Lionel Messi is coming to America. Messi, one of the best players of all time in soccer, says he's joining Major League Soccer and will play for Miami. When we come back here tonight, how the air quality here in New York compares with the rest of the world at this moment. Before we go, 115 million Americans under warnings now because of this toxic air. Let's get right back to Rob. And Rob, the air quality index really underscores all this.
Just startling stuff, David. I want to talk about New York City again. This number, 484, compared to one of the most polluted and poorly air quality cities in the world, Delhi, three times their number. And it may not be much better tomorrow. As we saw today, conditions can change in a hurry. So just be aware of your surroundings and be ready to protect you and your family if the smoke gets thick.
And let's hope the system shifts by early next week. Rob, thanks so much. I'll see you tomorrow. Good night.